Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, Buddy Hield or Kyrie Irving? That might actually be the question, and we'll tackle it next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends, certainly when news breaks. We always get a piece of fresh Lakers content up for you. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to really get the stuff as it breaks and as it goes up. And also, too, you get the podcast a little bit earlier than the folks who are just waiting for the audio. Really appreciate it. Just Andy, we got past 7,000 subscribers last week. Very excited about that.
We are closing in. I'm not going to say what the milestone is because I think it sounds very impressive. So I want to let it wash over all of our listeners and viewers at once. And by wash over, I mean totally bowl them over, stop them in their tracks, really reevaluate the world as they know it once they hear this. But I'm just letting you know we are close. I'm not even sure you know this, Brian.
No, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking
very
about.
Very impressive milestone coming up. But we shall save it till we hit it.
Please, I'm tingling with anticipation. So we started talking for Thursday's show a little bit about this question of Buddy Hield and the Lakers' reported interest. Dave McMenamin reporting that the Lakers are interested in Hield again. The timeline on a potential Kyrie Irving deal is sketchy, to say the least. Nobody knows exactly when or how or even if.
Well, it's really the timeline of a Kevin Durant deal.
Correct. Right. And that's why. It's because so much of this is not really about the Lakers and Kyrie and any trade potential there. It's about what the Nets choose to do with Durant and what comes in that way. So we're going to get into a bunch of that, of questions related to it. But what I thought was really interesting, we got an update today from our friends at Bet Online. With the sort of the first projections for win totals this year. And when you talk, Andy, about, you know, how important are these trades? How important are these things for the season for the Lakers? How big is the expectation that something is going to happen for the Lakers before the season starts? You go through every team in the league. They've got this stuff there. They've got the projections for the wins in the Western Conference and all that stuff. Not the Lakers. The Lakers aren't on the board.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think that means, because I certainly have my thoughts.
Well, it means Vegas thinks something is afoot, that there is either another shoe that's about to drop in terms of a trade for the Lakers, or the Lakers are trying their damnedest to get a shoe to drop. And either way, the information is incomplete. And Vegas will occasionally find themselves in this type of situation where an unexpected winner will mess up their preseason odds. Like I just saw some article on ESPN about how the Orioles are making Vegas very nervous right now because they're having, I don't really follow baseball closely, but they're having a very unexpected.
They are surprisingly competent. They were one of the worst teams in baseball. Like,
yes,
if not, I think the worst team in baseball for the last couple seasons. Been surprisingly competent this year.
Right, and Vegas set the line for them being predictably incompetent.
Yeah, they're like, and, they're like and, 36 wins, like right. In 162 games.
Right, and because of that, I'm sure there were some people that either just decided what the hell, you know, sleeper bet, or, you know, people in Baltimore saying, oh no, you will not disrespect my news. And they put down some money.
Is that how people in Baltimore talk?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is exactly, they do the O's.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, look, we're both big Scott Van Pelt fans. If you listen to Scott Van Pelt,
that's true.
That is how he sounds.
Yes. I mean, Vegas doesn't want to take a bath there for sure. But the other thing that it tells me is like, because there's one other team, you know, in kind of a quick look here, who is also not on the board. You want to take a gander at who that might be?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Because the range of possibilities for what these teams could be is really vast, you know, particularly when it comes to Brooklyn, because if, you know, they trade Durant and Kyrie for rebuilding stuff and Russell Westbrook, you know, so maybe that shows you're not trying to punt the season. Like they go from a 56 win team, 55 win team or whatever to a 30 win team. Like that's all over the board. But where I think is fascinating is the question about the Lakers, because it really does, it begs two questions. First, what do you think the team win-wise, what would be the number that you would set it at now? Like there's a couple ways of looking at it. If everybody's healthy, how good could the Lakers be? But also, okay, what are you really expecting? Like taking into consideration what I think is a reasonable evaluation of LeBron and AD staying healthy and then the rest of the roster, the number that came into my head was 43. That's not going to get Lakers fans very excited. It is above 500, but it is not very good. I'm not sure how many Lakers fans in their heart of hearts would take an over on 43 as with the roster currently constructed. Would you?
Yeah, I would. Actually, you and I talked about this before the show, and I thought about this from the perspective of the inverse of last year's health, where you have a roster like the 2020 team that won the championship and largely stayed very healthy. You know, the Lakers, I think that season were among the healthiest teams of any of the ones that really mattered in terms of contending. They stayed very healthy. And in that inclusion of health, you're talking about Kendrick Nunn as a brand new presence on this team. He was expected to be one of their most important players last year, did not play a single minute. That makes a difference. I'm also including Talen Horton-Tucker, not only staying healthy, but actually making the type of progression that the Lakers literally bet on when they gave him that contract. And some other guys that, if nothing else, I think allow the Lakers to play in a more preferred style in terms of the speed that they want to play with, the athleticism that was absolutely missed last season. They have a decided center upgrade in Thomas Bryant and Damian Jones than they did last year with DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Brian, you never know until you see it on the court, but on paper, it projects better. Although I don't want to end up looking like an idiot. DeAndre Jordan was Denver's 1201 call.
That's right.
That I'm telling you, that guy is either DeAndre Jordan, and you know, we both like him on a personal level. He's a good dude.
Sure.
DeAndre Jordan is either the best teammate in the entire league, or he has compromising photos of
every GM, every owner, everyone.
That guy manages to stay in the league despite all evidence that he cannot play.
To Denver's credit, they made other phone calls. So the offseason turned out okay.
But not that quick.
They jumped on that. Like, where did they think he was going? I think I agree with you in the sense of like.
I didn't give you my number. My number. I would set my number at 45 to 50. If you had to put
that's not a number, Andy. Vegas doesn't give you 45 to 50. But I understand what you're getting at.
I'll go 40. I will go 45, but I actually think 47 to 50 is doable if this team stays healthy. Because there you're dealing with a foundation of LeBron and AD. And to quote Allen Iverson, that's enough to get a whole lot started.
Where you lose me. I think your evaluation of like what the if all that stuff happens, yeah, they could be 45 to 50 is reasonable. I actually think it's not going to be as currently constructed. I think they've got some problems to get there too, because there is zero shooting on this team. Zero, as we talked about on Thursday's show. There is no shooting. You and I are about as good as half the shooters on this team. And there are some other depth questions. There are some questions about defense and how you put together a lineup that can defend that I think are profoundly important. And as I mentioned, the depth. And then that's, but that to me is sort of the top end. So if all those guys stay healthy, if THT comes through, if none is, you know, the sort of ascending player they need him to be, and all, it's a lot of ifs to put together to get just to get to that sort of 47 to 50 range. So
you didn't ask me if it was likely. You just said what I thought was possible.
Possible. Well, but Vegas is setting the number that they want people to bet on, and I think
45. I will go 45.
And I think most people would take the under on that. But
sure.
Here's my question. How much better do these potential trades make the Lakers? Because that's why they're not on the board, is this belief that a Kyrie deal changes the numbers fundamentally. Does a Buddy Hield Miles Turner deal change those numbers fundamentally? And if so, how much? And that's what we want to get into, because the, you know, we started talking about Hield on Thursday and it raised all sorts of questions. So we'll get to that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Doer, the sponsors of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Just this show, and they are the, Brian, they are the purveyors of the world's most comfortable pants. Doer is clothing created with the idea that comfort, style, and function, they all exist to complement each other in design and versatility. A single pair of Doer pants can take you from the bike lane to the boardroom to dinner with friends. Like, you have no more need over the course of a day to lug around different outfits, change clothes in the bathroom stall like a dork. And also, you are doing good things for the earth when you wear Doer, because their clothes are made using 95% natural fibers, unlike most conventional performance clothing, which uses primarily oil-based synthetic. That's gross. So drop by the store, 170 South La Brea in LA, in Mid-City more specifically. Check it out yourself. Feel that comfort in your hands. It is so soft, so awesome. I am wearing the shorts right now. This shirt is a Doer t-shirt.
Just got back flying. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got the shirt on. I did two airline trips on the airplane. Wore Doer pants on both of them. Super comfortable. Oh, yeah. Loved it.
Yeah, and if you can't get in the store, go to shopdoer.com. Either way, use the exclusive code for our listeners, the Familia de Locked On Lakers. Locked On 15 is the 15% off discount. I'm sure that was totally language accurate. Again, Locked On 15, 15% off at shopdoer.com, D-U-E-R, Doer.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by betonline.net. It is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Like, for example, as we were discussing, over-unders on NBA win totals this year and where the Lakers might land there. But you find all your favorite sports and events on the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball. Get the second half of the season coming up. The NFL, Kyler Murray is going to make $7 gajillion. That might have an impact on things.
I'm a Cardinals fan.
Yep, the NBA, the NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. It actually says, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, sports, and podcasts. They've got you all covered for all of that. So head over to BetOnline today, or use your mobile device to learn more about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so Andy, I've got questions. It's an interesting thing to me that this Kyrie or Buddy Hield thing, this conversation, it not necessarily an and or, but it certainly could be. My first question is this. You've put out like 45, potentially 50. How badly, though, do the Lakers need to add shooting to this roster? Like, if you're going to get to a number like that, and realistically, and not have to rely on everything kind of going right, whether it's Kyrie, whether it's Buddy Hield, whether it's, you know, Joe Harris and Seth, like whatever combination, to get to where you think the Lakers have a chance to be competitive, how badly do you think they need to add shooting?
Quite. they need more shooting. I mean, they do not have a lot of established, really credible year-in, year-out shooters on this team. As we discussed in Thursday's show, Brian, you can argue that the best shooter on this team from deep is LeBron. And the
certainly in volume,
right? Well, I think volume in proficiency, in guy you will never leave alone, guy that will scare you in terms of who's on this roster, it's LeBron. And, you know, credit to LeBron for taking that from being a weakness to a strength. The truth is, you want the floor spaced for LeBron. You don't want LeBron spacing mm-hmm. the floor. So they and also it will allow them to vary their offense more. It will allow them in transition to become more of a threat when guys run and fan out to the corners and spread the floor that way before the
ball. Which is something that Darvin has talked about, that Ham's talked about, like sprinting to the corner to set those things up. Right.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where a guy like KCP or Danny Green were so valuable the year they won the championship, because A, they were both really good at filling the lanes that way, and B, when those guys got to the corner, you had to worry about them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's impossible for them to get anywhere, really, without adding some kind of shooting. And the value of Kyrie isn't just the scoring. It's that he's a legitimate 40% three-point shooter, has been for six of the last eight seasons. And, you know, you noted Buddy Hield did not have a good season last year. But, you know, even going back the two seasons before, was at 39%, which for the Lakers would certainly be a valuable weapon. And if he cracked 40% as he had the three seasons before that, he'd have a shot to do something much more impressive. Is there anyone else out there that we're not thinking of that isn't, because to some degree it really does feel like Hield is an option, that Kyrie is an option, but it's not like there are free agents out there that are sitting there, whether it's these two guys or someone else. It's going to have to come through a trade, as far as I can tell. There's no, actually, Andy, there is one free agent that seems like he is interested in coming back to the Lakers, and has put it out there that actually would improve their three-point shooting and add to their glut of guards. Dennis Schroeder can shoot a little bit.
Emphasis on a little bit. Dennis Schroeder is not a good outside shooter. He's just not. He is a low 30s three-point shooter. He is not somebody that you add and think, okay, we are fortifying the outside shooter. That's not what Dennis Schroeder does.
So you're not even willing to put Dennis in your best case scenario that gets them up to 50. If these things happen, you can't put Dennis in there.
I mean, Dennis Schroeder could in certain respects help the team because there are certain things that he does well. And, you know, Schroeder's lone season in LA was all over the place in terms of productivity, in terms of, I think, his relationship with the team, in terms of fit. There were a lot of positives, a lot of negatives, a lot of weirdness, and weirdness is what you generally get with Dennis Schroeder because he's a weird guy. But he's not going to help you in this regard that we're talking about. Like, Dennis Schroeder is going to be left alone by defense.
Oh, tremendously. I think I was mostly just wish casting because I want to see what that introductory press conference looks like if they bring him back.
Going to get asked a lot about the bag that he fumbled.
Yeah, that could come up. But like, so oh, I'm really not missing
quickly,
anything.
Really yeah, quickly, go ahead. With Dennis Schroeder, because for those unfamiliar, he was kind of wish casting his way back to LA by some Instagram comments. He essentially said to LeBron, we need to run it back. Like, LeBron commented on some Instagram thing. I'm not even sure what the context of the original post was. But were this to take place, that would mean that Dennis Schroeder's relationship with the Lakers and him eventually being on the team this year would have meant trading Danny Green and a pick to get Dennis Schroeder. Presumably, I mean, not even presumably, we know this, with the idea of trying to sign him long-term and even attempting to overpay the hell out of him to get him to sign an extension. He ends up not signing the extension. He ends up going to Boston, getting waived, going to Houston, or getting traded to Houston. Now a league minimum guy. That would mean the Lakers ultimately could have had Schroeder like two seasons later on a minimum with the pick in hand with Danny Green on the team that year. That's a bad route.
The choices that they've made. I know that Dennis is part. Schroeder is one of these guys who ends up in the situation he's in, partially similar to Matt Barnes. It's not that he's a better than a minimum player, but he thinks he's, you know, a $17 million player when he's in that nine
and
or 10.
Schroeder's not a great locker room guy, if we're being
honest. No, he's not. But like, it is an indication. If you start going back, and you know, we've talked about, you know, the Westbrook trade and the assets you give up there, and you know what they've done in terms of not just the people they've acquired, but like the stuff they've let get away and the details on their second round picks and all. It's all part of a pattern of not getting value for any of the things that you have and then potentially overpaying for the things that you go get. I mean, like, all of it is bad. It's all bad. The situation that you're talking about with Schroeder is a reflection of the badness. Like, both that they didn't get him to stay, that they didn't get any value for him when he left, and that they're sitting here now looking
at him.
And they
gave up value to get him.
Get him, right. And which, and all of the, like, it's just all mismanagement, all of it.
Yes.
Waves arms wildly. Look, it's all bad.
So it's clear. I'm not saying that Rob Pelinka should have anticipated all of it.
No.
But there are elements like him starting and, you know, basically the politics that went along with him starting and feeling like they had to start him to retain him, even though Dennis Schroeder is much better as a bench player. Those are things I think Rob Pelinka should have anticipated.
And then even just to the inability to get, you know, they turned, you know, it was a terrible way of doing it, but, you know, like, they were ready to turn Trez, you know, into Buddy Hield. They were like, they got stuff out of, like, they were able to make, you know, opting in and make it work. Like, these things have been, like, they didn't get anything for the thing in Schroeder that they gave up stuff for when he left. You don't want
to. And it all leads to having Russell Westbrook on this team.
Correct. And so, like, they didn't get any value for Schroeder out the door when they gave up value to get him. And that, all of it's all, again, waves arm wildly. It's all bad. Okay. Well, that, you know, we didn't even get to my question. So what I want to break down this issue of Hield versus Kyrie versus built out deals or whatever, and try to figure out where the Lakers go from here. Because I think we could both agree, if you could choose just which player, you would choose Kyrie, correct? Better player.
In terms of pure talent, yeah.
Just, yeah. Who, if you, I could pick from, throw away what you're giving up in the trade, all these other things. I just want one guy from those two. You take Kyrie Irving. He's significantly better than
Buddy Hield.
Than Buddy Hield. But that's not how this works. There's a timeline to consider. The season is eventually going to start. Bet Online is eventually going to put a number on the board for the Lakers because they're going to start playing games. And you can only wait so long on Kyrie. So what trades make them better? What would you try to do? Would you go for something bigger with Miles Turner that might cost you a couple first round picks? Would you hold out for Kyrie? Let's talk about all that next. God, now I'm all mad about this Schroeder thing. Like, it's like, he really is a great example of how they sort of misplayed all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every step of the way. Like, mm-hmm. All of it.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think it is all on Rob Pelinka, but I do think there are elements of it that, if you know things about Dennis Schroeder, you should have anticipated and been ahead of.
Yeah. And then on the back end, like, oh, none of that stuff matters because we'll end up with, we're going to go Russell Westbrook and the talent will overwhelm and the details don't matter. All right. So here's my first question for you. Here's option A. Keep things as small as possible, because you could do THT, Kendrick Nunn, and, you know, Wenyen Gabriel or something like that for Buddy Hield. Probably wouldn't have to give up a pick in that scenario. You wouldn't think.
No.
To do that, you know, Indiana's trying to, they have too many guards. Hield doesn't fit their timeline, and he makes a lot of money. You could theoretically try to do that, and then still maybe you got a chance to get Kyrie with those first two, those two picks and Westbrook. If you could do that, or you could just say, you know what, let's do Miles Turner, which is going to cost us the a pick. Maybe you get something else in there, but you're now out of the Kyrie sweepstakes. Would you wait and try to make it so you can still get Kyrie, do things where you can still get Kyrie, or would you take sort of the bird in the hand and make as big of a deal for Indiana with Indiana as you possibly could to try to sort of fill out the team?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, it depends on the Lakers' willingness to take on Joe Harris. You know, there have been reports that, you know, when the Lakers were talking about this with the Nets wanted the Lakers to take Joe Harris because he's not an inexpensive player. He makes about 17, 18 a year. He's got another season on his deal beyond the upcoming one. And the Lakers preferred Seth Curry, because he makes about half of what Harris makes, and he's an expiring this coming season. And that was one among many things holding this up. Again, I don't actually feel like the Lakers are in a position to get Brooklyn to pull the trigger anyway right now because of Durant. But let's just put that aside. Let's just talk about what the Lakers would be looking to do. I feel like if you're going to be giving up one, maybe both of those picks for Kyrie Irving, if you are not saying you will give us Joe Harris on top of this, you're doing it wrong. Like, forget the idea of haggling over Harris because you don't want him. You should be telling Brooklyn, if we're giving you two picks, we will tell you who you're giving us. And if they are looking to take Harris over Curry purely for money, they're doing this wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion,
I think your answer for my ideal trade, if you
because Harris addresses more immediate need. I like Miles Turner. Harris addresses more immediate needs for this team.
The advantage to Miles Turner does. The advantage to Turner is that he's only 25 and he's a good player. And while he's not
26, I believe
25, 26, but he's still relatively young.
Yeah.
And, you know, is in that sort of sweet spot of youngish talent that they could go. He's got some injury issues and I don't think he's ever going to be a dominant player, but he's a good NBA player. Good, they don't have access to a lot of those guys.
Shot blocker.
Yeah. And so, you know, you could, and he can play next to AD, you know, both age wise and whatever. But what I think you're getting at, which I think is critical here, is this idea of if you're going, I'm kind of the mind now where while I am extraordinarily skeptical that any of this ultimately leads the Lakers where they want to go, if you're going to trade a pick, if you're going to trade THT and you're going to trade none, if you're going to do it, you got to get as much stuff as you possibly can. You can't dip a toe in here and be like, you know, well we're going to try to get help this season, but we're really going to make sure we're also hedging against, you know, no half measures, as they would say on Breaking Bad. You either do it or you do not do it. And if you're going to do it, I agree with you. The ideal trade for me, if I'm giving up picks, is Kyrie, Seth Curry, and Joe Harris. Give me all of the things, and we'll give you both first-round picks, and we'll get you off that money and all that, if that's where Brooklyn ends up. I would try to construct, I'd be tempted to construct something as similar as possible with that, with Indiana. Maybe it requires a third team or whatever it is, to where you're getting Hield and Turner and other things that either the Pacers or someone else can throw in there. The point being, a trade like this, for it to matter, for it to do the kind of thing that BetOnline is holding their win total for, isn't just about the headliner. They need two or three players, like legitimate guys who come in and make an impact. They've got to find other players in here. And if that's what it takes, you know, I think the advantage, I guess, to Brooklyn and waiting for Brooklyn is maybe you could hold on to Kendrick Nunn or THT or something like that, with the math being what it is, and still get a couple decent players back. Like, that's one of the advantages there.
Yeah. I mean, I will emphasize, if the Lakers throwing in two picks, if their mindset after that, you know, with Brooklyn is, because we gave you two picks, that means we should not have to take on those other guys. Cannot emphasize this enough. They're doing this wrong. Mm-hmm. But also, too, as far as like not wanting to take on, say, Joe Harris, or because you're concerned about your cap moving forward, the only reason is I think clean books is a really overrated thing to be focusing
100%
on.
100% agree.
The only you're paid as a basketball ops guy, Rob Pelinka, you are paid to be creative. The only reason I can think of that you would be looking to keep your cap clean, I mean, those picks matter. I mean, I should preface this. The picks matter in terms of helping you get off other contracts, but the Lakers have already put themselves in a position where they have so few anyway. They need to treat the assets as valuable, but you can't be worrying about getting off that stuff. Worry about it later. The only reason they should be concerned about keeping their cap clean for 2023 is if they don't have clarity from LeBron about his future with the team. And maybe they're looking to hedge that way, but I would say if you have that little clarity or confidence that he's going to be with you moving forward, then I question why you're doing all this stuff anyway.
That's kind of my next question. It's like, let's say, for example, I mean, there are 1,000 other questions we'll not get to. We'll look next week at some of this stuff. And I know there's a lot you want to talk about with Ross. But like, if you knew that you could make a deal that you like, I don't want to get bogged down in the terms of all of it, but Turner and Hield would take you out of the Kyrie thing. You wouldn't have enough stuff to get Kyrie at this point, which is probably right. True, because I think Westbrook would have to go to make that math work.
Probably, although maybe not definitely, maybe, only because Indiana has so much cap space.
Right. So let's just say hypothetically. If you could do those two guys and it took you out of the Kyrie business, do you think that's worth it? Because the Kyrie trade may never happen, because as you point out, that's really about Kevin Durant. It is not about Kyrie Irving, and it's not about the Lakers. So there is a bit of a bird in the hand thing here. But really what I'm asking you is, do you think that deal makes them good enough to make it worth doing and not hold out for the thing that's bigger and might make a bigger impact?
Depends. What do I have to give up to get Hield and to get Miles Turner? Does it require both picks? Because the reason I ask is because maybe having one leftover pick,
right, you can use it to improve somewhere else.
Right, exactly. Like the amount of stuff that you have,
you got to figure to include Turner is going to cost you at least a pick, I would think.
I would think, although Indiana is clearly in no hurry to commit to him long term. I mean, you add Buddy Hield and Miles Turner to this team, they're definitely better. Mm-hmm. You address some of the shooting. You don't address it all, because Miles Turner is not really
really a good shooter. Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's not terrible, but
there's a lot of that AD. The concept of Miles Turner as a three-point shooter is better than actual.
Actually, he's better than AD.
I'm saying he's better than he's been better than AD, yes. But he's not Karl Anthony Towns standing.
No,
out there
I'm just saying it really speaks to what they want AD to be, because right. Miles Turner would be a drastic improvement.
Right. If Miles Turner's about a 33% three-point shooter last couple seasons. If AD had been doing that, you're right, it would be much better. understand what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I'm not really complimenting Miles Turner. It's just speaking
right. It's
to what
just
they have
he is
be.
Just good enough from out there that he can legitimately sort of space a floor.
It makes them better. And it is worth doing if they don't have to give up everything to make it happen. But it certainly does. It doesn't make them feel like they're front runners for the championship.
Right. And that's the real bind here. We can quit on this. It's just that is trying to figure out, because the other thing, and we've talked for the entire summer, really, about how they have to really be honest in what they're doing and what they can get to. They also have to be honest about the situation they're in. They've gone 3/4 of the way all in. Is it worth now? Do you need to push all the way and at least give yourself a shot to try to do the things that you've been wanting to do? It is a real pickle, because I definitely think Kyrie makes them better than this any kind of combination from this trade would do. But at the same time, it may never happen. And if it doesn't happen, I think the roster is currently constructed has a 0% chance of contending in the West. So do you try to improve some now, figure out another way to get a little bit better marginally later, or do you just wait and try to hit the home run? This is one of the many problems that they are facing going forward. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get the show a little early push us, keep that subscriber count going, get us closer to this milestone that Andy mentioned. I have no idea what he's talking about, but it's very important. And you keep pushing us there. So I appreciate that. And we will see everybody on Monday.